Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Mike Davis from the Article 3 Project joins us to discuss the latest Trump indictment news. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Mike Davis from the Article 3 Project. So, Mike, I'm told you are ahead of the curve on all of this. Walk us through it. What is the latest in breaking news? What do you know?
Well, I mean, we see that Soros-funded Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg seems like he's pretty determined to bring these political charges against President Trump and indict him on his bogus legal theory, trumped-up charges on a bogus legal theory. I don't know if he's pausing or backing down or what, because it seems like we're hearing word that the indictment could be pushed back to next week, but you still have the Bragg's office coordinating with the Secret Service, other federal and state and local law enforcement agencies. They have the security fence around the Manhattan courthouse. So it looks like it's full steam ahead for Alvin Bragg. Mission accomplished for him politically. He's campaigned on the fact that he wants to take out Trump. If you look at his Twitter, both his Manhattan DA office and his personal Twitter feeds, he has penned tweets showing his Trump arrangements. And so this is going to backfire spectacularly on the Democrats. This is waking people up.
Well, let me ask you, what do you mean by backfire? I mean, because I have a ton of respect for you, Mike, but I'm not sure that's true. I mean, the Mar-a-Lago raid didn't wake anybody up.
Well, I mean, at the Mar-a-Lago raid, Trump's poll numbers went up by 11 points.
Yeah, but the midterms were hardly a resounding success.
No, I understand that. But if you look at what they're going to do is unify the Republican Party around President Trump. They're going to do the impossible, which is to make
I agree with that. Yeah, in the primary. I'm just not sure if regular people – I'm not sure if it's going to have this – I've been waiting for the boomerang for years is what I'm getting at, right? And I don't mean to be cynical, but I see no evidence that – any of this stuff actually backfires. It just seems as if we become less free. I mean, Gretchen Whitmer won re-election in Michigan by 8 points, and she was cruel to her people. The news cycle just kind of moves on, it seems.
Well, I mean, I think this is waking up people. This is the first time that I can remember in U.S. history where we've had such a political prosecution against, certainly against a former president, but where you have just blatantly politicized the justice system to take out your political enemy. I think this is going to wake up people.
I hope so.
This is going to be that moment. I mean, this is, we're seeing this. Notice how the national Democrats are not crowing about this. You get the crazies out there like Maxine Waters out there calling for Trump's scalp, but you're not seeing a lot of other Democrats doing this because I think they know that this is going to backfire. I mean, it's like during the Kavanaugh thing, they went too far during the Kavanaugh confirmation with their Me Too stuff. It backfired when Republicans picked up House seats, when Democrats picked up House seats and won the House in 2018, Republicans took out four Senate Democrat incumbents and picked up two seats. That was unprecedented. That's what could happen here is people are so angry that our justice system has been politicized at every level. It's going to wake up people.
I hope so. I see no evidence of that. People just kind of move on, and the Mar-a-Lago raid didn't wake anybody up, right? And the Democrats are really good at lying. I mean, you have this Politico piece. They're making it seem as if he's a by-the-book district attorney, right? And I think it's going to be up to us to hopefully force the case. So let me ask you, the question I think in front of the conservative movement, and you know, you as a great legal mind, I'd love your thoughts on this. Is it time for us to now say the kind of neutral clause of doing law is over? Is it time for us to start using DAs and attorneys general to start indicting people in the Democrat mafia? Because they're not going to stop unless we stop them.
100%. And I said this more than 3 years ago when I started the Article 3 Project. It's time for conservatives, it's time for Republicans to take off the gloves, put on the brass knuckles, and break the Democrats' glass jaws. Because this is always a one-way ratchet for Democrats. They will weaponize the justice system. They're going after Trump's top aides, his supporters, and we sit back and do nothing. We need prosecutors and red states to start going after the Democrats. A good place to start is, hey, did you have a riot in St. Louis by any chance? Maybe the Republican Attorney General of Missouri, for example, should look at bringing RICO charges or some other charges at whoever's funding BLM and Antifa, maybe George Soros. We need to stop being weak and stupid on the Republican side of the aisle and the conservative side of the aisle. We have to give them a healthy dose of their own medicine.
I totally agree. And that's why I say, hey, for all the Democrats out there watching, when we start perp walking all your favorite Democrats, you're not allowed to complain. Okay, you're done. You've lost all rights to complain. If you indict Donald Trump, when we finally got our act together and we get attorneys general that are not a waste of rations, and we start all of a sudden putting, you know, top level Democrats in handcuffs and we just start going in subpoenas, you guys are done. You have to take it. That's the new America is who can put the most amount of political opponents in jail. I guess that's the new contest, right?
Yeah, I mean that's how Republicans fail, but Democrats Democrats only respect power, right? And mm-hmm. if you show weakness, they're going to run all over you. This is what happened during the Kavanaugh confirmation. You have to punch back. You have to win. They only respect power. And Republicans are so weak that they're not willing to fight. Particularly Southern Republicans are the weakest of the weak. Southern white male Republican politicians are the weakest human beings
yes.
on the planet. And so what we need to do is fight back. Let's look at down in Georgia. If this Fulton County DA is going to go after Trump, maybe the Georgia legislature, maybe the Georgia governor, maybe they should take away the power from these local DAs.
Brian Kemp is not going to do that because I think Brian Kemp is enthusiastically cheering for the indictment of Donald Trump. He is not a friend of Donald Trump at all. And same with Raffensperger and all the people that are helping in that indictment. And isn't that interesting, though, Mike? How many Republicans are quietly assisting this push to criminally indict Donald Trump? I wonder.
Yeah, I mean, it's sickening because they are so stupid. They don't understand that this is so much bigger than Donald Trump. They're like the string orchestra on the Titanic as it's going down. Do they not look at every Marxist revolution? Do you think that they're not going to get killed in the process? I mean, these Marxists are going to go after everyone. They're going to go after every Republican, every conservative, and then they'll eventually eat their own.
So I think it's time for a battle plan. So what is the call to action here? I think it's very simple. If you're a DA, if you're a sheriff, if you're an attorney's general, and you're not currently investigating one of the top 30 criminal actors from Soros to any of these people, the Zuckerberg Zuckerboxes, we have to primary these people, we have to remove them. And when I talk to these attorneys general, they're kind of really, they're sheepish and weak, Mike. I mean, I was just talking to the other one. I said, why don't you have any current investigations into Clinton? Or into, you know, Zuckerberg, who had drop boxes in your state. Oh, no, we can't do that. We can't politicize the office. That's their answer, Mike, when I say that.
It's because they're weak and stupid. Look, our side is so weak and stupid when it comes to this that we have the Democrat Party has been taken over by the Marxist left, George Soros funded prosecutors. They are willing to earn power and use power to destroy their political enemies, Trump, Trump's top aides, Trump supporters. We need to fight fire with fire. We need to fight back and give them a healthy dose of their own medicine and make them stop doing what they're doing by giving them a dose of their own medicine.
What, if anything, can we do to slow down Bragg? Jim Jordan is saying he wants to subpoena him and have him testify. I think that's a good start. It's at least using some power. It's just oversight. Is that going to do anything?
Look, I've been very critical of Jim Jordan, but I actually think he's right here, and I want to give credit where credit's
good.
Due. So, yes, he absolutely that. Absolutely. Because you know what? Yes, he's a local prosecutor, a local elected prosecutor, but he doesn't get to decide who the Republican nominee is for president. He doesn't get to decide who the president is. And this
is absolutely
political presidential election interference. And I'm glad that Jim Jordan's doing this.
I agree. Our side is completely weak and stupid. There's no reason why we should not. As soon as they announced all these investigations, we should have had all the attorneys general together say, boy, is this a sad day in America. But we fight fire with fire around here, and America's worth preserving. Therefore, here's our current investigation into all of you that flew on Epstein's plane down with underage girls, Zucker boxes, funding of BLM, funding of all this stuff. Here's 10 different things, and the attorneys general that have jurisdiction, we're going to look into it, and thanks for playing. Hunter Biden laptop, hush money payments for the Clintons. Here's the top 10 things that we know, and every our attorney general that has signs onto it, we are going to have investigations in every corner until you back off. You guys back off, you guys drop the charges against Bannon, you guys drop the charges against Trump or the looming indictment, you drop all this, then fine, we'll back off. Because I want to live in the country where we used to not do this stuff. Mutually assured destruction. We have nuclear weapons too, Democrats. And so it looks like the grand jury is meeting tomorrow, Mike, and they're debating this. Do you think there's any do you think they might blink, they might back off, or you think they're going for it? I mean, you've been through a lot of these before. What do you think?
It's so easy for a prosecutor to get an indictment. You can indict a ham sandwich, as people say. So I think that they are absolutely going to indict Trump on these bogus charges, trumped up charges. And, you know, like we talked about, Charlie, this is so bad for our country, but we cannot unilaterally disarm our Republican prosecutors around the country need to fight fire with fire. I am so tired of the Democrats, you know, going after Republicans, and the Republicans win power and say, you know, we're going to reset. We're going to get back to the old normal. There is not an old normal. We're not dealing with sane people. We're dealing with the Marxist left. And they're going to constantly keep doing this until
And I'm glad to hear you say that, because I think that's the only fear with constantly saying there'll be a boomerang and backfire, because I think it's an excuse for an action, not for you, but some people. I mean, I was talking to somebody recently. They said, well, this is going to backfire. We can't be as bad as them. It's okay if they indict Trump and they do all. It's not okay. It's bad. But eventually we'll be able to fix it through long-term cultural change. What you're suggesting is no. The only thing they understand is handcuffs and prison time. And it's long past time the Democrat mafia starts to actually have to go through the same sort of punitive process that they're doing to us.
Yeah, I called it the dead chicken strategy during the Kavanaugh confirmation. You have to, when I clerked for Justice Gorsuch, Justice Thomas told us when he grew up on the farm in Georgia, when dogs killed chickens, you would wrap that dead chicken around that dog's neck. And as it rotted around that dog's neck, that dog lost the taste for chicken. And we need to do the same thing to Democrats, wrap those dead chickens around their necks, start indicting George Soros-funded groups, BLM and Antifa leaders who are clearly violent, clearly committing tax evasion. We need to stop being weak and stupid on the right.
Yeah, I mean, how is it, in what galaxy is it just that Hunter Biden continues to walk free and Donald Trump faces an indictment? I mean, that right there is an insult to every Republican AG. And I know a lot of these people, and I've talked to them, and I get nothing but excuses, Mike. I get nothing but excuses from local DAs. Meanwhile, they have Trump in Fulton County. They got Trump here. And, I mean, it's an interesting question. Is it because, Mike, the conservative movement is filled with so many weak, low-energy neoliberals that think we still live in the 1980s?
Yeah, probably 1990s. Let's give them some credit. I think they're stuck in the 1990s. White Republican men in the South, and also lawyers, are the weakest people on the planet. Right? They are. Well, I don't want to say it on your air, but they need to find their backbones, and they need to start fighting back, because we're going to lose our country if we don't fight back.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush. You said it, but is it the post-World War II German syndrome that they grew up just being told they're horrible people their whole life, so they just kind of cower in a corner and they're constantly being I mean, that's at least what I get when I meet with German conservatives. They're always like afraid to be too radical because they were told that their grandfather did something really bad. I mean, is that a fair comparison?
They are so fearful of being accused of being racist or sexist or, you know, anti-gay or whatever the issue is, that they're paralyzed by this fear. And what they need to do is say, you know what, Democrats accuse everyone of being racist and sexist and homophobic and transphobic. It's meaningless. Stop caring. Start using power. Republicans need to do what Democrats do. That is, win power, earn power, use power.
And use it appropriately, and especially right now. I mean, it's just, and by the way, somebody, you know, a lot of people are emailing us. They're saying, well, Charlie, what, you know, why is it that we haven't done this? And they're weak and they're stupid and they're also very self-interested. But it has to be a demand from voters. And I hate to say it, but we're going to have Alvin Bragg's running for office where they say, elect me and I'll go investigate Hillary Clinton. Elect me. I mean, that these are going to have to start being promises now, unfortunately and tragically. If they do this, perp walks are coming. Final thoughts, Mike.
I mean, maybe when President Trump wins back the White House in 2024 after Alvin Bragg indicts him, he can make me his acting attorney general for a few months because I can't get Senate confirmed because I'm too crazy. I'll give Democrats a healthy dose of their own medicine if I'm the acting AG. I'm joking, but we need people who are willing to go in there and fight.
I like the sound of that.
And use power, earn power.
That's what we need to do. Mike, thank you so much. Appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
Look, Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it, but companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest nation on earth. Look, Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Look, they offer dependable coverage for all three major networks, and they offer you a performance coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you could switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. All this, plus the knowledge that you're supporting free speech, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching awfully easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call them today at 878-PATRIOT. Make the switch. It's no new money out of your budget. In fact, it will save you money. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Get free activation today with the offer code Charlie. We need to stand together and support companies that share our values. Patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Joining us now is Rich Barris, Big Data Polls, People's Pundit. Rich, welcome back to the program. We had you on the show a lot during the midterms. It's been a while. How you doing?
Living the dream, Charlie. How you doing, brother?
Doing great.
Thanks for having me.
So I got several questions to ask. I also want to ask about your comments you made yesterday about Ron DeSantis. But I'm just pushing back a little bit on this talking point I keep hearing from people that a Trump arrest is going to lead to a backlash. I see no evidence of that. I hope that's the case. I have now lived through many of these promises of boomerangs, and they don't seem to materialize. What do you see?
You know, I think that it's a bit more complicated than that. In terms of nomination polling, you know, since a little bit before the midterm, after the midterm, and then, you know, in the couple of months that have developed since, this decline in Ron DeSantis' support has been weeks in the making, Charlie. I'm trying to put this right. But there had been some other things that had gone on. We could talk specifically about them. But people started to question, you know, whether he had the right people around him, who was funding him, things like this that really started to, you know, raise people's eyebrows. I'm talking about voters. Over the weekend, you know, the silence and then Monday, you know, kind of confirming it was a very structured response, a very managed response. Mm-hmm. That's just not look. I know a lot of people out there support Ron DeSantis, and that's great. I'm telling you what I see in the polling. This was a confirmation of what some people were worried about. And let's get real for a second. This is why Ron flip-flopped on Ukraine, because he saw the decline in the polling as well. It's not just me. It's everyone. They obviously saw it and they felt they needed to do something about it. And they tried to address this issue of Ukraine, which wasn't handled great either. And at the end of the day, I think on Sunday, Charlie, it was perfect timing. I mean, I did intentionally try to catch this because of the news of the indictment. I think the silence led to a very bad night for Ron DeSantis in our interviews. And it was the one time Donald Trump ever hit 60%. He has never been as high as some of the other polls out there in the nomination polling. He's never been as high as that, or in our polling, he's never been as high as others, is what I'm really trying to say. He ranges from a low of 43 to a high of 52. We've never had him at 55, 58, like some of these other polls have had. So for our polling to shoot up, 10 points like that, then yeah, I think it was, temporary, a temporary reaction. He did hold it for that night and then recede a little bit. But
no, what I
when
meant,
our
Rich,
poll comes
what,
out,
what
it's going to be big.
I meant less Trump DeSantis. We'll get into that. I meant more broadly that somehow independents are going to be swayed by the criminalization of our politicization of the justice system. I don't see evidence of that. Do you?
I think even though this will probably be a made-for-TV show trial, I think eventually there'll be something else to talk about, Charlie, and people, that are not political junkies like us, that are normies, they're going to be thinking about other things. We've asked in the past independents, the entire electorate, whether or not they expected Donald Trump to be indicted, number one, and number two, whether or not they thought it was legitimate or it was political persecution. I really do think this stuff is baked in a lot of people's minds, that they didn't think that people were going to leave Donald Trump alone, that this, attack legally on him was ever going to go away. And most people do see it as a political persecution. So I just, I think, again, I mean, the term I'm looking for here is baked in the cake. I at the end of the day, I don't know that I see it as a mass red pill event, for independence. I just don't think that, that will matter to Republicans, but some of those independents are just going to look back and the question they're going to ask themselves by the time we get there is whether or not the country is more stable or doing better than it had been doing under Donald Trump. Did they get what they bargained for? And we are, by the way, polling general election head to heads right now, and it's going to come out very soon. So, he's still by far the strongest candidate.
And so let's go through the DeSantis thing. You said yesterday on, I think, Steve Bannon's program you think that Ron DeSantis Scott Walkered himself. What do you mean by that?
So this was, again, if you go back and look at it, I don't think anyone can objectively look at that video and not come to the same conclusion. This was a very managed, they spent 72 hours almost working on the response. And then the quib that he threw in there, like a zinger, he was supposed to be, and look, he's going to run for president, right? So he's not running yet, but it's fair game. Trump's taking shots at you. Barnes and I, he was talking about this last night. I totally agree. He's taking shots at you. You can take shots at him back. But if you want to explain to the Republican voter that you're serious and you understand where we are right now as a country, what we're facing, that this is a, I hate to use this word, but that this is a war for the soul of the country, then you need to be more serious than this. And he could have, Ron DeSantis could have had a big moment yesterday, even though he waited, which he should not have. He could have had a big moment. That was a canned, very Scott Walker-like response. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, second presidential debate, Scott Walker was once considered a very strong governor, strong candidate, the dark horse, if anything. And he killed himself 48 hours after he made that. Mr. President, we don't need an apprentice in the White House, courtesy of George Will's wife, who he handed his campaign to, and she ran it in the ground. Very much, by the way, the same group of people, the Paul Ryan consultant class that now surround Ron DeSantis. So it shouldn't surprise anybody that the kind of content you're getting out of Ron DeSantis is what we saw from Scott Walker. Republican voters recoiled from that, even though at that time they weren't sure yet, not and definitely not all of them. We're not sure yet what to make of Donald Trump. But what they saw with Scott Walker was that he was trying to be somebody he wasn't, because he was listening to consultants, and Donald Trump was being authentic, being who he was. And what Ron DeSantis did yesterday was come out and be somebody that the voters did not think Ron DeSantis was.
Yeah,
and
I'll just be honest, Ron DeSantis' path towards the Republican nomination is closing quickly. I mean, I think it's basically, the betting market should have Trump at 99%. Do you agree?
Without a doubt, Charlie. I mean, I would love to go through some of these demographics. I don't know how much time we have, but
you got a couple minutes. Do it quick, because I want to get to other candidates just for interest of garden variety. But please continue.
anyone who wants to beat Trump in a Republican nomination has got to break his 30 plus point stronghold lead on non-college voters in the Republican primary. They will dominate a Republican primary. Even post-grads, Trump now leads with again in our polling. Four-year college grads, surprisingly, are a little bit closer. But the bottom line is DeSantis basically forfeited what base he was trying to create. And then the younger voter, Charlie, you would love this. I mean, the 18 to 24 Republican voter is a Trump or bust voter. 25 to 29, Trump or bust. With 18 to 24s, Trump leads DeSantis by more than 4-1. Vivek has more support than Ron DeSantis among this age group. These are voters Republicans have got to get out. In the general election, Trump only trails Biden by a little over 10 with 18 to 24. DeSantis is getting creamed by 33 points. So this is a vote that, you know, you would have to try to wrestle away. What if it's non-college educated, where else can you look? Seniors, right? Ron DeSantis' strongest group, 65 to 74. It's still not enough to make a base. That lane is shrinking and shrinking fast, Charlie.
Yeah, so let's again, things can change. So I just have a very simple question. And I had a donor of ours who I adore, and they're so sweet. But they asked me, they said, don't you think Nikki Haley has a shot? I said, no. Where is Nikki Haley, Rich? I mean, it's been a very interesting thing to watch, right? I mean, she was once the darling of the entire conservative movement. And now what?
And not and nothing, by the way. What? Go look at her Twitter account right now. Go to her press office. What are they talking about? They're talking about they're hitting Ron DeSantis over him saying it's a territorial dispute in Ukraine. She hasn't made a peep. And by the way, you got to give it to Vivek, who was smart. He knew that. I mean, she is taking a lane all of her own, but he knew that Ron DeSantis was trying to walk a tightrope, you know, doing this tightrope act where, you know, I kind of want Trump to be damaged politically by these indictments. That is the pitch he's been making to donors. I'm just going to say that out loud because it's true. But he can't let the Republican voter know that. And Vivek is over there shaking the rope, inviting Nikki and Ron to come and have a press conference with him. And Ron just boffed it. But Nikki Haley was too busy talking about Ukraine. I mean, she's at like 6 or 7%, Charlie. I mean, at this point, I don't know where she plans on breaking through. There's just that party is gone. I don't know how else to put this to people.
But what's been interesting, Rich, and you saw Mike Pence's statement on Ukraine. What was that all about? Why don't they adjust? That's what I can't understand, is that it's so clear the Republican Party has changed. Why don't they change?
That's the...
It's perplexing, right?
That is the $20 million question. I think the answer is horrible, which is that they don't care. They don't want to change. They don't want to understand us. They don't want to, they don't want to acknowledge what are legitimate grievances. They don't agree with MAGA. I don't know how else to put this. And by the way, Charlie, they had been doing this to the conservative base of the Republican Party, you know, the conservative alternatives for years before Trump came along. It was always, your guy may win Iowa, but we're going to beat him in the rest of the nomination. And then you just have to suck it up and hold your nose and vote for our guy. I'm not even convinced they were ever truly conservative, let alone, what the Republican Party stands for now. Well, the only explanation, Charlie, is they don't care.
Yeah, or there's a lifestyle they're trying to support catering to a very specific type of funding.
Oh, sure.
I really think that's part of it. Noble Gold Investments have made it their mission to stay on top of the most important economic news. There's literally been 3 bank runs in the last week. If you do not own gold, then I think you're making a mistake. These are the second largest and third largest runs in history. The government is taking steps to guarantee all deposits. That means more money printing. Plus, the Fed is sitting on unrealized losses of $1.2 trillion on their $8.3 trillion bond portfolio. And the Fed will continue to raise rates even if they tank the economy. Do you know who are the only ones that are not afraid? The ones that are invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. I love the people at Noble Gold. Use promo code Charlie. In fact, we just had a friend of ours that did a $100,000 gold purchase with NobleGoldInvestments.com, and she said her experience was easy, seamless, kind, transparent, ethical, honest, and I'm really glad to hear that. If you want a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA, go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Use promo code Charlie. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, promo code Charlie. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. I thank the world of them. Colin, who runs Noble Gold, was on our show last week. Great man, ethical, and most people in the gold business are just not great. Noble Gold Investments is the exception, not the rule. They're transparent. I use them for my gold purchases. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. So, Rich, are you seeing any other candidates that might announce for office that might be any sort of competitors, or is this just kind of entertainment at this point?
You know, I really think it's entertainment. This was before a two-person race. It really was. I would love to see, you know, maybe what happens if Glenn Youngkin, the word is, Glenn Youngkin sees an opportunity here. He may, but again, I'm not sure I can see an entire coalition. You'd have to, you know, you're talking about the prediction markets. You would have to put the favorite, the heavy favorite as Donald Trump right now. It's just it's dominant. There's polling we can go back and look at, Charlie, from 15 and 16. Yeah, he's a former president now, but he didn't have this level of dominance even when it became clear that he was going to clinch the nomination. Even polling back then, he didn't have that kind of dominance. So it's very difficult. Again, I'll say this for people, you know, that we speak to people all day who don't, you know, that they're donors, they're supporters of different candidates.
Yeah, we hear it from across the board. Yeah.
Yeah, across the board. But they're, you know, the primary will be dominated by working Americans, average Joes and Jills. And Trump has an enormous lead with these people. Anyone who wants to beat him has got to crack into that. And, you know, even when he was falling in the 40s, it wasn't because of that. It was, you know, because of higher educated people moving away from him. It's a tough nut to crack, Charlie.
Let me ask you, what if there were several charges on him, one in Georgia? I mean, if he's on trial for two or three or four different things, do you think that changes the calculus at all?
I think something would need to be substantial. You know, I really do. Look at what this man's been through.
I mean, there's been so many swings and misses with him. People just don't believe this stuff, right?
They don't believe it, Charlie. They don't. We've asked them, is this credible? Are they doing this because this is a credible investigation and Donald Trump has done something that warrants it? Or is this simply to stop him? And with Republicans, forget it. It's almost universal.
No, I agree.
Donald Trump is under assault. And then even independents who are just trying to live their lives, right? I mean, these persuadable normies, they're just trying to live their lives. It gets annoying after
a while. So let me ask you, I think a couple attack vectors, though, that Trump has to be careful with is the vaccine and the people he had around him. I think DeSantis could exploit those. Do you agree?
I think the two biggest weaknesses that Donald Trump have is the vaccine.
Yes.
And I mean, the COVID stuff, voters, we've actually asked this. They are not buying that attack. Like, I was a better governor and you shut down the country.
But personnel is a real attack.
Personnel is a real attack.
Personnel and vaccine are his two great attack vectors.
Without a doubt. I couldn't agree more. And with him, you know, I mean, staying on the, you know, what he needs to do is just, you know, and I told you so. IBD had a great article the other day, actually, who does their polling for IBD, Investors Business Daily. Will a Trump was right kind of campaign be successful? And they made some really good points in it, and points I tend to agree with. He really needs to Grover Cleveland this. And, you know, the two flanks that he has are definitely vaccine and personnel. He's been addressing personnel with some of the some of the silent supporters, people that back him. He needs to do that. I would do it openly if I was him. I really would. The other thing he's doing that it makes sense is trying to make this comparison. Look at the difference between the DeSantis visit to Iowa and the Trump visit to Iowa and the Trump visit to Ohio. He's being a lot more personal. He's retailing it like he did in 2016.
I wrote a whole piece on this. We did a whole episode, MAGA Season 2. Go small. Get Trump going into random people's living rooms, right? Have Trump show up at a Little League game, right? Just go pure retail.
Yes.
McDonald's, Little League games, you know, living rooms, just like out of nowhere, all of a sudden he just shows up at a VFW meeting, right? And he just starts talking to people, right?
Charlie, that's where he was, where he always was best. In the 2015-16 primary, I remember in New Hampshire, he just popped up at the Manchester police and the fire department heard he was over there and they were all trying to get on the trucks and race over to talk to him. He was shaking the hands of like 15 people and then people were swarming, you know, yes. Trump is over there talking to the cops. That was the best that he, presented himself that whole election cycle. In Iowa, there were farmers who were on the fence, and they won over.
Into this larger than life. He is at his best. I don't think he's at his best right now at the rallies. I think he's at his best in the small, intimate person-to-person environments. Rich, we're out of time. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All the best, brother.
Check out People Pundit Daily and Big Data Poll. Email is freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. I want to keep hearing from you, freedom@charliekirk.com. How are you feeling in 2024? How does this factor in? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.